Welcome to this edition of Shi'ar Jashub, a Bible study program brought to you by the Church of Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and today we will be concluding a sermon delivered by my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo, in his series on the Book of Romans. The current sermon is on chapter 2, and Pastor has been discussing verses 5 to 11 concerning the righteous judgment of God, and how the Apostle Paul writes that God will render to each one according to his deeds. Pastor looked at passages in the Old Testament which Paul was referencing, including Ezekiel chapter 18, where we read in verse 30, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God." And then the Lord continues, "Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit." And when we left off, Pastor had discussed Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, how in making his righteous judgment, there is no partiality with God. He shows no favoritism. There is punishment for those who do evil, both Jew and Gentile, and there is glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, both Jew and Gentile. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg in the Sunday message.
For there is no partiality with God. Verse 12, "For as many as have sinned without law will perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law." Sinned without law. Don't have Moses. They don't have the prophets. These ignorant Gentiles, well, they've sinned without the law. They'll perish without the law. Sinned in the law, right? The Jews have the law of Moses. They have the prophets. They have the writings. But it's not enough to hear. You have to do. Verse 13, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God." What does Paul say? "But the doers of the law will be justified." Not the hearers of the law, not enough to say we heard the law. Well, then you are even more accountable than the poor guy who grew up in some Gentile land where he's being taught abominations from the day he's born. "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." Does it sound familiar? Some weeks back, we read Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Then whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? And does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, it did not fall, it was founded on the rock." Verse 26, "And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Not enough to be a hearer. It's not a hearer of the law. It's not a hearer of the word. It's a doer, right? And certainly we all have heard that Paul and James, they don't agree, right? Paul and James, they write opposite things, very confusing. James chapter 1, verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty." Now, James here is not referring to the law of Moses. He's referring to something that they all have in the new covenant, the law of liberty. And Paul will talk about that as we go into the book of Romans, and continues in it, "and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. For as many as have sinned without law will perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And you notice in all this the truth of the situation of good versus evil, and that God judges righteously according to the truth. And if grace is twisted as to nullify that God is not making a righteous judgment, that God does not judge according to the truth, it's not the grace that Paul is speaking about. The Apostle John writes clearly, bluntly, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, he says, "Little children, let no one deceive you." 1 John 3, 7. "He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Now, the problem, which Paul will reveal as we go on in the letter, is that there's sin in all of us, Jew and Gentile. And so how is it forgiven? How are we made right? How is sin conquered that we begin to do that which is good, that which is righteous? What hope is there for the Jew who hears and can't do, and the Gentile who has never heard and doesn't do, but the very nature condemns them because they know there's a God? Well, look back at the very beginning of the argument that's here in this section, chapter 1, when he starts his whole conversation about the Gentiles and then the Jews. In verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Right? "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Right? That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need him. To become what we should be, we need to turn around, and only by the grace of the Son of God do we see it even. We're all going our own way, even the religious. Only by the grace of the Son of God is the price paid. Only by the grace of the Son of God is the Spirit given. Only now do we have a changed heart, a new heart. Get yourself a new heart, a new spirit, we read. And all need Jesus Christ that we escape the wrath of God. Doesn't mean we can then do whatever we want to do, because that definition of grace nullifies everything Paul's saying here. It's just the opposite. The grace of God is not to nullify the righteous judgment of God. Rather, it is to fulfill it. It's to fulfill it. Notice also, does any of this sound even remotely that God is not concerned with the choices that we make? Does it even sound remotely that somehow those choices are simply a veneer, an appearance, and that they cover up some underlying reality where God will make some saved and some not saved, some saved, some damned, based upon simply what he wants, his whim? He might choose A and not B just as easily as he might choose B and not A. And A and B are irrelevant in that discussion. What they do, how they respond to Christ, is irrelevant. If he wants A and not B, so be it. If he says, well, maybe I will choose B and not A, and nothing A and B has to do or say or think or act is involved in it. Does any of what we just studied sound like that? It doesn't, right? Does it sound like God is that kind of judge? when Paul is excruciatingly here telling them, look, God is the righteous judge according to the truth. Evil bears evil, good bears good. And we need the salvation, the power of God to save by faith in Jesus Christ. Let me suggest that if the former was the case, it's not. It's not. But if it was the case, God is doing a whole lot of striving with man. And Paul and the apostles are writing and writing for almost no reason if you have the supposed underneath reality that we have no say in the matter whatsoever. We think we do. It's all one big act on a certain surface veneer, but underneath makes no difference. You're going to respond if he says respond. You're going to not respond if he says don't respond. There's a lot of awful lot of writing going on here. Why is Paul doing all this? Doesn't make any sense, right? He's dealing with them. He's striving with them. The Spirit of God is wooing them to come to the truth. God is the righteous judge. He's the only righteous judge, loving good, hating evil, and he's merciful, being forbearing and holding back his wrath and holding forth the answer to the sin of the world. I just read you a moment ago from 1 John. We'll close with that again. I'll read you the full scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ destroys the work of the devil, and when we turn to him, we have victory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these hard things but necessary things in your word, that we would rightly divide your word of truth, that we would understand your righteousness, that we would understand your mercy, that we would understand that we cannot stand on our own in our own religious traditions and habits and practices are not what's needed when there's a problem deep down inside, first to the Jew and to the Greek, to the Gentile. And that problem is dealt with only when we respond to the Holy Spirit, when we don't persist in disobedience and unrighteousness, but we turn to you and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me from my sin. Live your life inside of me. I give myself over to you as your servant, as a slave of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for your truth and your reality that you conquer the work of the devil. Thank you, Lord, in your name, amen.
On our church website at shiarjashub.org, you will find a library of Bible study radio programs, information about our church, helps, and links to the audio podcasts on Apple and Amazon Music. We live stream the sermon portion of our Sunday morning service at 10:30 on both YouTube and X.com. The videos then remain up on YouTube and X, as well as posted on rumble.com and the church website for 24/7 access. You can find all this information on shiarjashub.org.